Well, Father, as we stop once again this morning to consider your word, we pray that you would be with us and that you would bless us. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to be attentive. We pray that your spirit would be at work within us, that your spirit would be at work to both reveal to us our sin, but also the salvation that we have found in you. And so bless us and minister to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning we're nearing the end of our series on the Ten Commandments, and so we come now to the eighth commandment that God gave to his people. And once again, as you heard earlier, he says, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." Now, this is one of the commandments which I believe is most often forgotten, and because we don't tend to remember it like some of the other more common ones, "You shall not steal," "You shall not kill," and so on, we don't tend to think of it as sinful or wrong. But even if we do know this commandment well, and even if we do know that it's wrong to bear false witness, it's another one of those that we commit so often in so many various ways that we don't even really think twice about it. We don't realize the many ways that we break it. And it's another one of those sins that's just as common here within the church as it is outside of it. So as we begin, we have to ask the question, what does it mean to bear false witness against our neighbor? And the simple answer is that to bear false witness, it means that we lie about our neighbor or we slander them. It means we offer false testimony about them. Now, Martin Luther in the Small Catechism, he explains it in this way. He says, "We should fear and love God, and so we should not tell lies about our neighbor, nor betray, slander, or defame them, but should apologize for him, speak well of him, and interpret charitably all that he does." In his large catechism, he goes on to say that God will not have our neighbor deprived of his reputation, honor, and character any more than his money or his possessions. And this is something that we often fail to consider when we do think about this commandment. When we bear false witness against somebody, we destroy their character and their reputation. We cause other people to look down upon them. And again, because of our lie, because of the untruth that we're sharing, in that way we steal his good name. According to Scripture, a good name is something that's very valuable. It's very precious. For example, in Proverbs 22:1, King Solomon writes this, "A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favor is better than silver or gold." And so as you can see in this passage, he tells us that it's better for us to have a good name. It's more important that we have a good reputation than it is for us to have great wealth. Now, I think most of us, we realize the truth of this statement, especially if we really stop and think about it. We know that if we have a bad reputation, it affects our lives in so many ways. We know that if we have a bad reputation, others are less likely to help us in time of need. We know that if we have a bad reputation, it's that much harder to find work, right? If we have a bad reputation, it's even hard to find friends. And so a bad reputation can harm us in many ways, whether that reputation is deserved or not. So knowing this, we should seek to protect not only our own reputation, but we should also seek to protect the reputation of our neighbor. And that's ultimately what this commandment is all about. Now again, thinking about this commandment and what it forbids, we realize that we bear witness or false witness against others in many ways. We destroy their reputation in many ways. And one of the main ways we do it, one of the simplest ways that we do it, is simply by lying about them. Now, we all realize that this is wrong, but it's also something that we've all done. You know, I can think back and remember times where people have done this to me, even within the church. One instance that stands out to me, it occurred as I joined the AFLC about 15 years ago now. But I had gone to seminary and had previously served with another Lutheran church body. And as I left that group and as I became part of the AFLC, all kinds of rumors started circulating about me in that other group. And basically, what a lot of these rumors were about was saying that I had some sort of grudge against the leader of that other group or against the group as a whole. But nothing was further than the truth. Well, I left and I joined the AFLC simply because I felt the Lord leading me in this direction. I had taken a lot of time to think and pray about this switch, and it wasn't an easy decision to make. In fact, I found it very painful to do so. And even though I was very clear about this when I resigned from that other body and joined the AFLC, even though I told the leadership directly what I was doing and why I was doing it, the rumors still circulated, and even those who had spoken to me directly were guilty of circulating some of those false statements. But I'm sure that all of you have had something similar happen to you in your own life as well. You've had people lie about you, and nobody likes it when people spread false information about them or rumors about them. Yet even though this is true, we're all guilty. I know that I'm guilty of committing this sin. And I'm sure that in reality, we're more guilty than we even realize. And we lie about others for many different reasons. We'll sometimes lie about other people out of pure hatred. We spread a rumor and we fully intend to harm the other person's reputation. We'll often do this as an act of revenge. We have been hurt by them, and so we're feeling hurt. And so we want to get back at them. We want to punish them for what they have done for us. Another reason we'll sometimes lie or bear false witness is to protect a friend. We have a friend who has done something wrong, and so we give a false report or a false testimony in order to protect them. We tend to feel that in a case like this, lying is acceptable. We excuse our sin. We justify it, telling ourselves that, well, we're trying to help somebody. However, God clearly recognizes this as wrong. For example, in Exodus 23:1, God says this, "You shall not spread a false report. You shall not join hands with a wicked man to be a malicious witness." So even if it's our friend who has done wrong, we must never partner with them in order to spread a false truth. Other times, we tell a lie about somebody else out of fear. We do so in order to escape consequences that we may have coming to ourselves. And we usually do this to try to deflect the blame of our own mistake onto somebody else. Now, this is something that I remember doing this. I remember doing this even as a child. As I was thinking about this past week, an incident in particular came to mind, and I can't remember how old I was, but I was in my yard. I was playing with some friends, and there was a neighbor kid who was just really bothering me. He was making fun of me as we were playing in the yard, and so finally I got angry, and I grabbed him, and I threw him on the ground, and I punched him in the nose. And right away I knew I was in trouble, because the other kid ran home with a bloody nose, and I knew it was only a matter of minutes before his parents called my parents. And so I had to do something to protect myself. Right? That's always our first instinct. So I went in, and I told my parents, I admitted that I'd hit him, but I also lied. I told them that I had done so because he had taken a swing at me first. Now, I knew that if I told the truth, if I told my parents that I had punched him because he'd made fun of me, I wouldn't have gotten away with that. They would not have found that to be a good enough reason for me to hit somebody. But I also knew that my parents were okay with me defending myself, and so that's where the lie came from. Now, the other boy and I, of course, we went and told completely different stories to our parents, and my parents, they believed me, and they stuck up for me when the other boy's parents called. But in this way, the other boy's reputation was damaged by my lie, because while my parents had once thought of this boy as a good kid, they now thought of him as a troublemaker and a liar. They didn't think very highly of him anymore. And we do similar things all the time, don't we? We even do these things as adults. We'll sometimes lie about mistakes we've made at work so that the blame and the consequences get pinned on somebody else. And we might not, you know, try to pin somebody in particular for our mistake, but even by generally trying to pass the blame off, that blame gets laid at somebody else's feet. And we can do this in all kinds of ways. We can try to, again, lie in a lot of different ways. But again, the whole idea is trying to cover ourselves up. Another reason we sometimes lie about others is simply to avoid embarrassment. Let's face it, there are times we just do things that are stupid, don't we? We make silly mistakes, and we don't want people thinking of us as stupid or dumb, and so we try to, once again, deflect the blame. If we put our foot in our mouth, if we get hurt doing something silly, we try to find a way to pass the blame off onto somebody else. And again, we do this because we want to protect our own reputation, but quite often we're willing to sacrifice somebody else's in order to do so. And this is something that commonly happens among teenagers, among teenage boys in particular. And what I'm talking about is what we often refer to as locker room talk. You boys, your guys out there know what I'm talking about. A lot of times boys, they're in the locker room or they're just among the guys and they start talking about girls, right? They start talking about their experience with girls. And while I do realize that things do happen among teenagers, and probably more so today than they did in the past, I also realize that more often than not, these stories are lies. You know, we get these boys and they don't want to admit to their friends that they've never had a girlfriend. They don't want to admit to their friends that they've had no experience with girls. And so they throw some young lady under the bus. They lie about some young lady and give her a bad reputation in the process. And nobody ever looks at her in the same way again. Another way that we often bear false witness against others, and this is an extremely common one, is through gossip. And again, this is one of the ways that we most often violate this commandment without even realizing it. We don't think of it as wrong because, first of all, it's something that everybody does. It seems like it's a part of everyday conversation. And so, again, we tend to think of it as normal behavior as we relate with others. And we often bear false witness in this way because we're passing on unsubstantiated rumors, or we're passing on our perception of other people. And we do so not realizing that quite often the rumor is wrong, and quite often our perception is wrong. The rumor, of course, it could be based on a misunderstanding. It could be based on false information. It could be based on someone else's lie. And so by passing it on, we're passing on something that is untrue. And our perceptions of other people, they are also wrong more often than we would care to admit. Sometimes our perception of others are based on our emotions, right? We're upset, and our perception is based upon our feelings. Other times, they're based upon our beliefs about the other person's intentions. You know, we don't truly know their intention, but we try to assign an intention to them. But we really don't have enough information to go on. Our judgment, our perception, is really only a small part of the story. And when we do this, when we gossip about somebody, we are once again destroying their reputation and their honor. We're doing this even if we're not knowingly spreading false information, and it makes us guilty of violating this commandment. And as I mentioned earlier, this is a sin that's quite common in the church as well. It's especially true in small churches or in small groups where the people know each other, and in fact, they might even know each other a little bit too well, right? They seem to know each other's business too well. That's why I always remember my home pastor, the one I grew up under. As I was being ordained, he stopped me and he gave me some advice, and I think I might have mentioned this before, but he said, if you ever serve in a small town, he said, don't hang your underwear on the clothesline. And y'all know what he was getting at. He was trying to say that, you know, if you air your private laundry, it's going to be all over town in no time flat. But even though this sin is quite common in the church, it receives very little attention. We tend to ignore this sin while at the same time we focus on so many others. You know, we'll talk about the common sins of our day, which are quite sinful. We'll talk about homosexuality, and we'll talk about abortion. Or we may talk about other sins that are more common in our community. We may talk about how so-and-so is living with their boyfriend or their girlfriend. You know, we might talk about a sin that has come up among people within the church, and we might insist that, you know, it really needs to be dealt with. But at the same time, we are unwilling to restrain our own tongue. And we're also unwilling to hold other people accountable for this sin. and we're unwilling to do so, even though it can be just as destructive, if not more so, than so many others that we rally against. Now, many Christians, they would deny that they gossip, right? And we have a lot of ways of making our gossip sound very religious and very sanctified within the church. I always remember an old Christian comedian who joked that Christians don't gossip, we share, right? And if the information's really juicy, we share in love, right? And we often gossip by sharing information, and we say, well, you know, Dalton, even though I've told you this, don't pass it on to anybody else, right? And we think that we're safe in a case like that. We make it sound as though our gossip is only a way of sharing our concern for another believer. Another way we often gossip in the church is by phrasing it in the form of a prayer request. You know, we'll say to somebody, you know, you really need to pray for Brother Tom. You know, I've heard he's been acting inappropriately around his secretary at work. You know, and again, statements like that, they're nothing more than gossip because we're passing on information that, first of all, we can't substantiate. We're passing on information that could very well be wrong. We're passing on information that could be harmful to the reputation of that person for whom we're requesting prayer. Now, it's absolutely okay to be concerned with somebody or for somebody, but it's never okay to spread information that, first of all, we don't know to be true, and that, again, could cause some harm to them. It's never okay to air somebody's personal information unless there's a real danger to them or to a family member or to somebody else near them. If we're really concerned about somebody, we should go directly to them and we should talk to them in private. And these are only a few of the ways that bearing false witness can hurt somebody's reputation. They're only a few examples of how we bear false witness. And when we do any of these things, we are guilty of breaking the eighth commandment. And not only are we guilty of bearing false witness, but simply of the sin of lying, right? And we know throughout Scripture, God has told us that he does not want us to lie. And we see these exhortations all throughout Scripture. For example, in Leviticus 19:11, God told the people simply they were not to lie to one another. In Proverbs 12:22, we're told that lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. In Proverbs 6, God gives a whole list of sins that God hates, and a lying tongue is among them. And in John 8:44, Jesus says that he is the truth and that Satan is the father of lies. We find statements like these all over, but we learn from this that sharing false information is never acceptable in the eyes of God. He wants us to speak the truth. Now, I understand that, yes, we have to speak the truth in a loving way, right? But again, lying is a sin, and lying about others is a violation of this commandment. Now, in his explanation of this command, Luther also said that we are to apologize for our neighbor. Now, this doesn't mean that we have to go and say we're sorry on our neighbor's behalf, but apologize in this sense means that we are to defend him, okay? Luther goes on to say that we are to speak well of him. We are not to go around speaking badly about other people. And he says that we are to interpret charitably all that he does. And this reveals another reason, another way in which we often fall into this sin. As I suggested earlier, there are times that we simply misunderstand what somebody says. We misunderstand what somebody does, and we become offended. And instead of going to the person to resolve the issue, or instead of simply forgiving them, we gossip about it. We go and we tell everybody what they have said and what they have done. We tell them how we understand that person's words or actions, and doing so makes them look bad. Doing so damages their reputation. Now, it's true that other people are sinners just like we are. And it's true that at times people will sin against us, whether it be intentionally or unintentionally. However, we must also realize that in some cases our offense is simply the result of a misunderstanding. Quite often the things someone says or does are not truly malicious, even if we understand them in that way. We often understand others wrongly. At other times, people may not express themselves clearly. They don't say things the way they truly mean them. And we also quite often misunderstand the actions of others. You know, perhaps we feel ignored or disregarded by somebody, but in reality, they're not feeling well, and they simply don't want to talk at that point in time. Maybe they're upset about something going on in their life, and they're unusually quiet, and we take from their behavior that they're upset with us. In reality, they're upset about something else. It has nothing to do with us. But our interpretation causes all of these feelings to well up on the inside. And so by talking to others in a case like this, we are spreading something about them that is untrue. We're bearing false witness. We're sharing our perception of another when we don't know if we are right. And so once again, if someone offends us, we must go to them and clear it up. And when we do bring others up in conversation, we should do it in a positive way. We should talk about them, assuming the best about them. Now, as I stated earlier, there are many ways we break this command, and these are only a few examples. But as we've looked at them today, I think you can see your guilt. We should all be able to see our guilt. Just reflecting on this command this past week brought to my mind several times where I've fallen into this sin. And I hope this message has done the same for you. And we must all, once again, recognize our sin. We must recognize the punishment that we deserve. And we must recognize this so that we see and understand our need for a Savior. We must see our sin so that we understand that we can't earn our forgiveness in any way. We can't buy it in any way. But Jesus has paid the penalty of our sin, and he's done so by giving his life for us upon the cross. And if we look to him, if we trust in him and his sacrifice, we will receive forgiveness and everlasting life. And I also hope you recognize your sin, not only so that you might confess it, but also that you might repent of it, that you might come to hate your own sin, that you might come to desire to live in a way that's glorifying to God. And we must seek God's help that we might do so. We must seek his strength that we might live according to his will. And so once again this morning, I'm going to invite you as we close to join me in prayer. And let's ask God to forgive us for the sin of bearing false witness. Let's pray that he will work in our heart and to create within us a desire to live for him and to glorify him. And ask him also for the strength that we might be pleasing in his sight in all that we do. Let's pray. Well, Heavenly Father, we do, as we consider the eighth commandment today, recognize our sin. As we think back, Lord, we can remember the times that we have maliciously lied against other people to hurt them, to destroy their honor, or even the ways that we have done this unintentionally. And we pray, Lord, that once again, for the sake of Jesus, you would forgive us for our wrongdoing. We pray, Lord, that as we live through our day-to-day lives, that you would convict us, that you would help us to see when we're engaging in this sinful behavior, that we might turn away from it immediately and seek to honor you with the words of our mouths. Give us a desire, Lord, to protect not only our reputation, but the reputations of others. And give us such a spirit, Lord, that we assume the best about people. That even as we feel hurt, or even as we feel offended, that we might assume the best, that we might understand their intentions to be right and good. And so be at work within us, Lord. And we pray that as we live in this way, that not only would it glorify you, but that it would also be a blessing to those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.